Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome and thank you for joining us today. This is an hour devoted to learning something more, not just about the world we live in, but about how, what, and why we think as we do. An hour for the open-minded, willing to challenge some of those old ideas and beliefs behind what we think we know, who we are, and who we might just become. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room is open, and my partner Ravinder awaits you there now. You can log on by going to Eldon Taylor, that's ELDONTAYLOR.com/chat. So, Rav, say hello to the folks and let us know all about your chat room today.
Well, hello, everybody. The chat room is a buzzing and we're having lots of fun. Do come join us. That is eldontaylor.com/chat, where we add the fourth dimension to Eldon's Provocative Enlightenment radio show.
Now, you've got a crew in the chat room today because you're going to be doing double duty. Is that right?
Yeah, you're working me.
All right.
Cracking that whip.
Okay. Every week I read some of your letters as our way of paying respect to the very important role you play in making this show successful. Last week our show featured Ariel Ford and we spoke about the wabi-sabi love. Joni wrote, "Wow, what a show. I just loved how the three of you made it so clear as to how we can make our relationships better by just changing the way we see the little things. Thank you." Well, you're definitely welcome, Joni, and those little things can make a real difference. Did you want to comment on last week's show? You had a couple of insights that you brought out to me.
Oh, we could have an entire show about last week's show. I thought, you know, it was a fabulous show. I just had a few different viewpoints to wabi-sabi, you know. It actually came to my mind when I put the toilet seat down. And I decided, you know, I don't even think about such a thing. Because to me, the toilet seat up or down, I mean, if it's up, it just means that you're at home. And that's wonderful. So it's not a flaw. It's magic.
Yeah, yeah. I'm at home, or the dogs are at home, and you're your dog, I should say. Okay,
Home. I love you. The flaws in my life make it more magical.
Okay, CB remarked, "I think I have practiced the wabi-sabi concept. I have learned through various teachers that when I start to feel certain physical sensations that I need to check what it is about before words come out of my mouth. Often with my wife, I have had the opportunity to feel piqued. But before I reply, I ask, is this going to create the results I want? Most of the time, the answer is no. I take a deep breath, remember I love my wife very much, and a new something to say comes to my mind." It's a great, great way to handle things, CB. Pamela wrote, "Your Hay House radio show? I love it." Well, I love that you love it, Pamela. Marianne wrote, "I love your work. You have a kind authenticity to you. It is very vibrationally perceptive." Well, thank you, Marianne. Angel wrote, "I listen to Eldon's show when I am able to at work. No computer at home. Just got an MP3 player, so I am ready to take my life and make it right. Thank you for these free items." Now, for all of you, please remember that we do offer a number of free InterTalk programs as just a part of our own Pay It Forward efforts. You can get yours simply by going to eldontaylor.com and choosing free programs from the left-hand navigation pane. Tony wrote, "Thanks for all you do for humanity, and God bless you and your family." Well, thanks, Tony. Richard wrote, "It's very difficult to find any useful information on the mind without being subjected to fluff, nonsense, or unreadable technical jargon. Thank you for writing in a serious and interesting manner." Well, thank you, Richard. I really appreciate that. Carol wrote, "I love listening to you on Hay House Radio. Your topics are interesting and helpful. I also loved your book, I Believe." Well, thanks, Carol, and I'm going to use your letter as a segue into today's show, The Incredible Power of Belief. Last week, I was interviewed by Sharky Zartman for her show, Sharky's Pep Talk. Quite a show. Good catch. Sharky, her real name is Charlotte, and she's a former volleyball champion as well as business leader, coach, etc., had read my book, I Believe, in preparation for the interview. This is what she wrote my assistant, quote, "I had to go to the hospital today to get some parathyroid scans. My doctor thinks I might have a tumor. It was a long, scary day since it took over 4 hours, but I took Eldon's book, I Believe, and it brought such an amazing sense of comfort and relief. I am almost done with the book and have taken a lot of notes. I love the stories and his refreshing way of viewing life. I can't wait to talk to him. Having him in my head helped me get through a long, hard day. After reading a few chapters, I wasn't afraid anymore. And now I believe I can handle anything. Close quote. You know, shifts of this kind are not at all uncommon when we realize the authentic power that resides within. The hard science has repeatedly demonstrated this to be true. Indeed, a couple of weeks ago, I attended an all-day workshop, continuing education unit, if you will, CEU, facilitated by neuroscientist Professor Kateri McRae of the University of Denver and on behalf of the Institute for Brain Potential. There were two bottom-line takeaways from this day of empirical review, study after study after study. The first was this. You absolutely can change, and it's never too late. Now, when I went to school, the knowledge of the day insisted that brain cells began dying somewhere in your 30s, and they were not replaced. IQ was fixed, personality formed early and became rigid, that is, you couldn't change it, and so forth. All of this is simply false to fact. Indeed, today we know that you not only can change personality, IQ, and so forth, but you can literally increase the amount of gray matter in your brain. That is, you can change the physical nature of your brain. Think about that. You can change physically. For a long time, the mechanism underlying how a multiple personality disordered patient could go from normal blood sugar to hypoglycemic in the snap of your fingers. The change of their personality, or how eye color could change just as rapidly, brown to blue, again in the snap of the fingers, or eyesight, allergies, and so much more. But today we are beginning through epigenetics to understand that there is such a mechanism, and that the mind, our thoughts, directly influence the DNA molecule. And you know, the only thing that has happened with those multiple personality patients is that their beliefs about who they are changed. You know, I'm not Susan. I'm Susie. I have fun. Susan's a stick in the mud. The belief about who you are changed. And almost as rapidly with these patients, things like eye color change. Now, the second takeaway was this, and this is the important one. You can only change what you believe you can change. Please understand, this is not some lofty thought. This is empirical information based on empirical research. The hard data shows us that you can only change what you believe you can change. Let me say that once again. You can only change what you believe you can change. If your fixed mindedness prevents you from accepting possibilities, well, then you will in all likelihood leave out your self-fulfilling prophecy, perhaps like that bumper sticker, life sucks and then you die. However, if you can allow in your thinking the idea that many things are possible, including what you might think of as miracles, then the hard data shows that these things become possible. In other words, making the so-called impossible possible is entirely up to you. And your choice, your awareness, your mindfulness of what you maintain as your life beliefs. Now, not only can our beliefs provide power, but they can be disruptive as well, because our beliefs can also deliver the strangest of maladies to our bodies, complete with all the physical symptoms. Indeed, in some instances of mass hysteria, an entire group of people have been known to fall ill with the same symptoms, such as a rash, high temperature, or abnormal blood counts. Indeed, in one such instance of mass psychogenic illness, several people reported symptoms that included dizziness, muscle cramps, tremors, and shortness of breath. This occurred in Beirut at a time when the city was under near constant threat of violence, and the case was reported to the St. George Hospital University Medical Center, where the attending healthcare professionals finally diagnosed the problem as mass psychogenic illness, epidemic sociogenic attacks. So would it surprise you to learn that the power of your intention, the power of your mind, what you think, what you believe, also has a well-studied influence on machinery, on random number and random event generators, also known as regs. And that many such studies have passed peer review tests before appearing in refereed journals. According to Dean Radin's Entangled Minds, the calculated odds that the effects observed in these studies were random or chance are 1 in 1,076. Thoughts influence machines. The Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research Program, PEAR as it's commonly known, tracked regs situated around the world, investigating the impact of global consciousness on matter. Princeton University School of Engineering and Applied Science kept this project going for 3 decades. Summarizing this innovative research could be done simply, although the work itself is far from simple. Mind, consciousness, does influence the physical world. I quote the PEAR website, quote, "Our ability to acquire or to generate tangible, measurable information independent of distance or time challenges the foundation of any reductionistic brain-based model of consciousness that may be invoked. The lack of notable correlations in the data with standard learning curves or other recognizable cognitive patterns, combined with the repeatable and distinct gender-related differences, suggest that these abilities may stem from a more fundamental source than heretofore suspected." I could go on for hours, perhaps I will this evening on Coast to Coast when I join George Nuri at 10 a.m. Pacific time, but this is what I hold to be true. Belief dictates your life as surely as magnetism directs a compass needle. If you deem yourself unworthy, you'll prove it to be so. If you think you're unfit, you'll find a way to manifest that. I can't overemphasize both the potential power in our beliefs and the necessity of choosing them wisely. Unfortunately, for most, those choices weren't made consciously. The bulk of our beliefs have been inherited in much the same way that we have inherited the language we speak. Socrates is credited with saying, "The unexamined life is not worth living." I believe that you have both the prerogative and the obligation to know what you think and why. Those who choose to close their minds, believing that they know all there is to know, that they have the only right way, or that there's no such thing as fill in the blank, have blinded themselves to experiencing much of the true meaning in life and of being who they really are capable of being. Okay, Ravinder, you wish to address today's show with your own special setup piece. You said you wanted 5 minutes of the show before we begin a discussion all about belief. So here you are. I guess you're going to surprise me. What is it you have for our audience today?
I'm hijacking you today. I'm totally hijacking you. I hijacked your newsletter today, and now I'm going to hijack your show. So what we have is we've got some exciting news, but you're too modest to brag. Uh-huh. So I'm going to do the bragging for you. Okay. Piece of information for everyone. You know, this is some really exciting stuff going on today. Last year, Hay House released Eldon's I Believe, and it quickly became a bestseller, hitting the international bestseller list, the overall Amazon bestseller list. That's not the special categories. That's the overall and lots of others. It's Eldon's favorite book, and I think it's his most inspirational. As you all know, Eldon has focused the last 30 years on researching the power of the mind and creating ways to harness it so we can all create better lives for ourselves. Well, in my opinion, I Believe is actually the definitive guide to the power of belief, as it not only discusses those areas we're all familiar with, you know, the power of positive thinking and the mind-body connection, it covers so much more. Areas you won't have considered as having any bearing on the degree of success you can achieve. These range from your thoughts on work and play to the value of mortality, from general relationships to personal relationships, from instincts and intuition to blessings and resolutions, and so many more. The fact is, your beliefs form a complex web, each belief tying into another, creating the framework for the life that you experience. I promise you'll be astounded at the many consequences for every single belief. It's like a spider web that continually builds upon itself, often trapping you where you don't want to be. Once you have read I Believe, your life simply won't be the same. You'll no longer be able to take your thoughts on any subject for granted or dismiss certain areas of thought as not being important, because even if a particular area of self-improvement is not top of your priority list, it still has an effect on those areas that are. But what's the really good news? I'm so glad you asked. Yeah, I'm excited. I Believe was originally released as a hardback book with a free Inner Talk CD included, but it has now just been released as a paperback, so you can get your copy at a fraction of the original price. In the last time I checked, the paperback version of I Believe was under $15. As the Inner Talk CD that comes with it, you know, it's also titled I Believe. I mean, that CD has been available in our general catalog for $27.95. So you can see that it's a bargain, but it gets even better. When you get a copy of I Believe during the special launch for the paperback release, we'll also give you the instant access to the download for the Inner Talk High Self-Esteem, something everyone should have in their library. You know, if you have an esteem issue, you have to have it. But even if you feel pretty good about yourself generally, there are always those times that you need that extra boost. Everyone should use the Inner Talk High Self-Esteem. I know I use it regularly. But there's even more. I told you it's an exciting day. When you get one copy of I Believe during this special launch, you can also enter a drawing for two opportunities to win a personal Inner Talk library for yourself. This collection is valued at $500, and you can choose whatever programs you wish. Get them for yourself, for your friends and family. It's up to you. And then we have more, because there are additional drawings. You can enter drawings to win prizes from Hay House, from Dee Wallace, from Michael Beckwith, Stephen Halpern, Dr. Norman Shealy, and Caroline Sutherland. And, you know, maybe I should buy a copy of your book and enter those drawings too, because I would certainly like some of those. Plus, there's a whole host of bonus gifts available to everyone. So you can see why I'm so excited, and I'm trying not to jiggle in my seat too much, because for everyone out there, when you tune into Eldon's radio show, you all know how much I like playing Mama Claus. So this is Mama Claus on steroids. So, you know, go check it out. If you go to eldentaylor.com, you know, there's a banner at the top of the page, and you can click on that, and that'll give you a whole bunch of information. If you didn't get a copy of I Believe when it was released in hardback last year, then you owe it to yourself to pick up a copy now. If you did get a copy last year, then get copies for your friends and families. For every copy of the book you purchased, you can enter again into the major gift drawings. And, you know, we've all got friends and family who don't really believe the things that we believe. They don't believe in the power of belief. So this is an excellent introduction for them, and it's a deeper end course for you. So go get it and enjoy. Do tell me what you think of the book. As I said, it is Eldon's most inspirational. Tell all your friends and family about this too. It's a you know, when you just look at the Inner Talk programs that come with it, there's the two Inner Talk CDs and the book, which is about a $75 value, and you can get it all for under $15. Doesn't get better than that. So there's my hijacking, gorgeous.
That's your 5 minutes, huh? That's it? You have nothing else that you want to add?
Oh, I've always got plenty more that I can add. I'm trying to be really good, you know? We have some quotes from some pretty cool people. I know Dee Wallace says about the book, She says, I believe is everything I teach, self-responsibility, self-creation, self-love. Eldon gives you the keys and guidelines to all three, which is creation itself. And we all love Dee Wallace. She brings an amazing energy to everything that we do.
You know, I'm still compiling this list of, you know, prominent people. Many of them are, you know, writers, and but there are a good deal of prominent people that I talk to that are scientists and involved in other areas of life. And asking them Dee's question, you know, what is your song of life? You've heard me say this many, many times. There's no such thing as a statement that doesn't contain a question, or a question that doesn't contain a statement. It's very interesting, the kinds of songs of life that we hear from people, you know. I mentioned this to you the other day, Man from La Mancha, The Impossible Dream. That seems to be a very popular one among men, although just the other day we heard, you know, two prominent women also share that. What I find interesting is when you think about the song of your life, if the song of your life is that country western, you know, she done me wrong, he did me wrong, you know, the train ran over my dog kind of thing. Think about the script that's going on in your mind. With The Impossible Dream, it became, you know, because that was mine for a long time, it became obvious to me that what you're expecting is resistance. You're expecting to have to do battle. You're expecting to have. So I really love Dee, and I love her thinking there. And that's really opened up a whole new way of looking at a mirror, if you will, on what our expectations are. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
You know, I was just sharing some of the other comments that we've received from other people. Lindsay Wagner said, and she's such a gentle soul, she says, I believe is one of those special books to be experienced and contemplated, not just read and the information recorded. Enjoy the journey. I did. And it most definitely is a journey.
You know, one of the things that I've enjoyed today is, of course, there are a lot of book reviews that are being published today on various different blogs. You know, Hay House and ourselves have sent review copies out to most of the bloggers in our area. And I am seeing repeatedly the comment that, you know, this is a book that you read and you may have an aha. You may get an epiphany. You see something that you just haven't thought about, you know. In fact, remind me when we come back after the break to speak directly about the mechanics of the body. And how we get, you know, how we fail to see the mechanical aspect of some things that we do with our thoughts. But at any rate, you know, these comments are essentially, you know, I read the book and I got this out of it, but then I picked it back up. I reread this chapter. Wow, and I got another level of meaning. I suggest, you know, you keep this book, and as you experience life, you take a look at some of these chapters again, because you'll find your belief is changing. It's moving. And that, to me, is a mark of personal growth. You know, if your belief isn't moving, well, then you better be walking on water. Because if you think you got it all fixed out there, you know, you're a long ways from being what you could be if you're not walking on water. Quick comment. We have about 30 seconds.
No, I totally agree. And I like just the extent that I believe goes to, you know, I mean, as I said earlier, we're all very familiar with the power of positive thinking, and, you know, and that gets a bit blah after a while. It's like, how do I make that practical and real for me? But your book, I believe, just covers so many different areas. I mean, integrity, how does that relate to me being successful? That helps other people, but sometimes I want a bit of the success for myself. And it's just the really, really practical end of it. You know, just the variety of areas that you cover and are really enlightening.
Well, we can actually pick that one up when we come back, because that will tie into the mechanics of the machinery we operate.
Cool.
You know, this thing we call body. We're speaking about the science behind the power of belief. If you're not already in our chat room, now is a great time to join in the conversation. We have a short movie for you during the break, so be sure to log in to eldentaylor.com/chat. Do stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss what's coming up after a few words from some of our friends.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, we're speaking about the power of belief and the paperback book launch of I Believe, When What You Believe Matters. So, Rav, before the break, we were talking about, you know, remind me to discuss the mechanics of how this machine operates that we call a body, because there are lots of aspects about the mechanics that most people just don't understand. And because of my work, my research, you know, I mean, understanding how the body works definitely gives some people, those people that might want to get you to think what they want you to think, gives them certain advantages. They understand things. And so you mentioned integrity, you know, let me do this for the entire audience out there, just to give you an illustration of perhaps something you can relate to, about how your body operates in ways that you're unfamiliar with. I want you to pick up your right foot. If you're standing or you're sitting, pick up your right foot, and I want you to begin to make clockwise circles with that foot. Okay, everybody make clockwise circles. And now while you're making the clockwise circle, I want you to draw a six in the air. Oh, but your foot went counterclockwise. Now, why is it that your foot changes directions when you draw a six in the air?
That is so weird.
Okay, there are so many things of this nature about your own being that most people simply don't understand, that it comes as a surprise to them when I point out that, do you know, telling a lie negatively impacts your immune and ANS system. Just telling a lie. Now, researchers have a number of different estimates on how many lies the average person makes. One study I read, they had volunteers in conversation for 10 minutes. And during the 10 minutes, the average person lied, exaggerated, or lied, and I mean an exaggeration to the extent they called it a lie, 3 times in 10 minutes. The average person.
Wow.
One study I read said the average person lies 17 times in a day. Now, if you think about that, that means that every time I practice a deception, I am actually inhibiting the optimal operation of my system. You know, we all know what stressors are. So, and we know that under stress and continued stress, we're building cortisol, and cortisol, it is not carried away. And we know about its negative effects on the entire system. We witness under, you know, heightened senses of arousal how the body responds by going to the old fight-flight mechanisms. The heart rate increases and you know, blood flow goes out to the extremities, etc. But a simple lie has a similar negative effect, despite the fact we generally are not conscious of it. Now, the body has two budgets analogous to a government. I've suggested this many, many times. One is growth, the other is defense. Every time we put the body on defense, we're actually inhibiting our own optimal operation of the ANS, the endocrine, and the immune system. So little things, when we talk about character, we talk about integrity, you can talk about these little lies eroding away our character. I remember when I was a boy, I guess I was a young man.
You're still a boy.
Yeah, I'm still a boy, that's right. There was a song by Henson Cargill called Skip a Rope. Mm-hmm. And the nature of the lyrics to this song essentially said, isn't it kind of funny what the children say? They repeat us, you know, lie on your taxes but keep the golden rule. We are all of us generally enculturated in an environment that tends to give us dissonant beliefs. How can we how can we keep the golden rule if we cheat on our taxes? Well, maybe because the government isn't a person, you know, do unto them before they do unto us. But you can see that there is a dissonance here. There are interesting other dissonance. You know, you said, or you implied, that there is no such thing as an inconsequential belief. Mm-hmm. As you know, I've said many, many times, our beliefs are knitted in a fabric you can think of as a giant web. And if you tweak one aspect of that web, the entire web responds. There's a vibration across it. Well, we see some really interesting dissonance today. You know, you have watched this because you accompany me, but I ask people questions to get an idea of how their own self-talk operates, because our stream of consciousness is a real good mirror at looking at what we genuinely believe. Okay, so to do that, I say, how many of you would like to earn $1 million this year? And of course, everybody raises their hands. You know, everybody wants $1 million, right?
Okay, of course.
You've seen this. So, you know, then I instruct them they have to have the mindset of a millionaire. To do that, they have to believe they're going to make $1 million. You have to have kind of the mindset of a Bill Gates. And they have to be able to say to themselves and mean it, you know, silently and sincerely, that this year I'm going to earn $1 million. Because understand, we're not talking about winning the lottery. We're talking about, you know, you're going to earn it. So there's going to be some change in your life. You're going to have to go at risk some way. You know, you're going to borrow money. You're going to do something different. So you're going to say that to yourself earnestly. And, of course, you know, many of them begin to get, you know, that back talk, that inner talk, stream of consciousness that says, sure, what are you going to do? Rob a bank? You know, I've heard this stuff before. Okay. And that's how that stream of consciousness actually sometimes fends off, defeats our affirmations, is by mitigating its power with these arguments. And just about everybody has experienced that. But here's the interesting dissonance. We take the same group, but we get further down the road, so to speak. You know, we're now an hour away, and we've changed the context, and now we're talking about, you know, the nature of our society and maybe the national debt and Wall Street, and how the economy got here. And then the question is, how many do you think we should, you know, punish those fat cats? You know, really tax these millionaires heavy. Take 50, 60% of their what they've earned. And once again, just about everybody raises their hand. Now, it may not occur to you, but that is dissonant. On one hand, you're saying, I want to be a millionaire. And on the other hand, you're saying, I want to punish millionaires. You know, all these thoughts, not just about prosperity or about relationships like last week, but about our health and our wellness, they all come in to bearing. It's pure and simple. You know, the study that I like most when I think about that was a study that was carried out at UC San Diego by Phillips, where what he did is he looked at the historical data in China. Because in China, you're born under a sign. The sign tells you what you'll die of. So if the sign said you'd die of cancer, Phillips' question was, would you die of cancer? Would your belief in that sign be evidenced by what you your actual mortality? And indeed, he found an extremely high correlation. It's a seminal piece of work to demonstrate that our belief doesn't just influence all these little things we might call in life, but they influence directly our wellness and our longevity. You know, if you're walking around thinking, well, my mom, you know, she got cancer and that means I'm likely to get cancer, the probability is you may well be co-creating that. What you must understand is that the mind has this tremendous power, but when you think of it, it's mind as servant, or perhaps it's mind as slayer. You have a comment on that?
I do. No, we've certainly seen examples of that. You know, I know an individual who said that, you know, all the men in my family die young. And he went on to, you know, have a heart attack. He's not doing well at all. Now, his siblings are doing fine. But he got stuck in his head somewhere that all the men in our family die young. It's actually not true, because if you take a look at the big picture, you can see plenty of men who are living to a really good age. So you certainly have that. I mean, and I know someone else who says, oh, I'm always going to be short. It's in my family to be short, and that's all there is to it. And he is, you know, he kind of stopped growing.
And yet his brother said, I'm not going to be short. It just shot through. I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, and you've actually got your own story about that, too. Didn't you determine as a teenager that you were going to be 6 foot, even though there wasn't anyone in your family who was 6 foot?
That's right. You know, and I used to go to bed at night. And I don't know how I knew this, but I did. As a very young person, I somehow intuitively knew that I could visualize and I could affirm. I that the mind had this power, and I was able to do that. I mean, I remember going to bed and repeatedly visualizing and seeing myself as 6 feet, seeing myself as taller than my father, you know, substantially, and my father and my mother, turned out all my siblings as well. But you know, the bottom line was, I did visualize that. I did become exactly 6 foot tall, and it all happened that one summer that I was doing this while I was out of school, and I was my friends were growing, and I was afraid I wasn't going to grow, and I grew like 5 or 6 inches in that one summer. I remember going back to school, and I was suddenly taller than everybody, and that was that would have been between my 9th and 10th grade. So
I could have done with your book when I was a kid. You know, as a kid, I was always called Titch. Short, you know, Titch, tiny, Titchy. Oh, it's English, oh. Sorry. Titch, short, half a penny, you know, that kind of stuff, because I was tiny and I never expected to get any taller particularly. So now having your book, yeah, I wish I could put the clock back. And I would get that, too.
Well, you know, we have had a lot of comments on, I believe, since the hardback was released, from parents who have shared the book with their, you know, children. And we've had some great feedback from just young people. You know, that's one of the things that I like best about the book, because the hardest part to me was to take all of the hard science, take the data, make it simple, make it very readable, make it a story. Tie it together so that, you know, it had a storyline. And at the same time, like I say, integrate the scientific data so that it wasn't just another one of these, hey, you know what you might be able to do, you know, somewhere over the rainbow? It was actually based on case studies, based on empirical evidence, based on the historical data. You know, and one of the things that's worth mentioning while we're talking about that, because, you know, we do get our beliefs, a lot of them, just like you said, you know, you were called Tish.
Titch. Okay.
All right. English, tiny. All right. And you know, I think of that as kind of like the old no-don't syndrome, where we're told, you know, you're stupid, you're not smart enough, you'll never amount to anything, you're too tiny, you're too big, you're fat, you're skinny, your laugh, your smile is strange, you walk funny, all the things that we're criticized over, that other children, our schoolmates tease us about. And then, of course, all that stuff that goes along with, you know, parenting and teachers. You know, Johnny, you shouldn't show your anger. You know, anger's not a good emotion. I know, Johnny, you shouldn't cry. You know, boys, men, they don't cry. And Johnny, and, you know, all of those things that were naturally us, who we were, we begin to inhibit. We begin to hide. We, in this process of taking all these beliefs on, begin to fasten an identity for ourselves. And I say fasten, but we're really fastening what we fashion. We're practicing. We're rehearsing our identities. We're attempting to fit in. And in that process, we're really becoming somewhat like a chameleon, able to change given different circumstances. And, you know, I've had people, grown-ups, tell me, you know, there's nothing chameleon about me. But the fact of the matter is, all you have to do is think about when you change your clothes. You come out of that three-piece suit and that tie, and you go into those Levi's and boots, or Levi's and athletic shoes, and you walk different. Maybe your language is different. You swing your arms different. You know, I have a friend, you know, a radio host that's a psychologist that is very formal, very, you know, erudite, and to be around her is, you know, she is just a very gifted professional. But I'll tell you what, when she puts her chaps on and straddles that Harley of hers, she is an entirely different woman. And you know, we all have this in us. And stopping long enough to think about who we are and why we are the way we are, that's probably the most important thing that we can do in life. If we don't do that, we have failed to observe the beauty. You know, I'm reminded of my favorite verse, or actually it's a chapter in the Tao. This begins with, there are, Tao Te Ching, begins with, there are 30 spokes in the wheel. Now, when you read this chapter, you come to understand that, yes, there are 30 spokes in the wheel. And when I look at a wheel, I typically look at the wheel. There are the 30 spokes. They're made of wood. The outer material is also wood. And maybe it's framed with steel and so forth. And the hub, I see the material. It's kind of like a clay bowl, which is also mentioned in the Tao Te Ching. So I see the clay pot, and perhaps I describe the glaze, the color of the glaze, the kind of clay that's involved in the pot. What I fail to notice are the holes in the hub or the hollow in the pot. I am so oriented to seeing things and describing things that I miss the value of the pot. What value is the pot without a hollow? What value is the wheel without the holes in the hub that allow me to mount it on a wagon and pull the wagon? In a very real sense, because we are so particular oriented, we see ourselves the same way. You know, you've heard me say this many, many times. I try very hard not to see myself as a noun. Because that's what Eldon Taylor, 6 foot tall, lives in Spokane, Washington, has a little ranch there, is married to a very beautiful woman by the name of Ravinder. You know, we can include that part. We'll subtract it. Because you see, the part about being a noun is this. When I am the things are dynamic. They're continually changing. You know, I'm struggling to keep up with, well, maybe I want to stay young looking, you know, or maybe I want to be more athletic. I am involved in the things. And then when I transcend this life, when you step through this door into the next, what am I then? Am I still 6 foot tall? Am I still bone and tissue? And I mean, all these things that I come to think of, you know, my degrees, my awards, my automobiles, you know, my lovely collector cars, all these things, I don't take those with me. What I take with me is my experience. So I try to think of myself as the hollow in the bowl. I try to think of myself as the verb. The experience that I am having. And when I do that, you know, that little convolution of the model, when I do that, everything changes. I find that I'm an experience experiencing this beautiful woman sitting across from our radio table together.
Yes,
or our audience today. And in that process, I begin to understand that my beliefs about everything that I know in this world, perhaps I have seen things. Perhaps I have held common views. And they are not necessarily any more accurate than all those false-to-fact notions that I was given when I was at university about IQ being fixed and so on and so forth. So to me, the real takeaway is, you know, stop long enough that you listen to who you are. You examine your beliefs and understand that your beliefs are very collective in nature as well as this individualization. Collective, I mean, there are a lot of examples, but one of my favorites is Roger Bannister. You know, Bannister said in 1954, I'm going to run the mile in under 4 minutes. And, of course, all the scientists and the wizards of the day said that's not possible. You know, the physiologists and medical doctors, you know, we've calculated length of stride and propulsion. It's just that's a physical impossibility. And Bannister refused to accept that. Well, some of the historians said, you know, let me remind you that the Greeks used to chase some of their better runners with wild animals to beat that 4 minute mile, and they couldn't either. So here we had an unbeatable, you know, it had never been done throughout history. And in 1954, Bannister ran it in under 4 minutes. And to me, the most important thing is not that Roger Bannister refused to accept and he made the impossible possible, but that once the impossible was possible, all the runners began to do it. His record was broken within 1 month. 17 more runners broke it within 3 years. And today it's kind of a standard. It's like there's no big deal about running a mile in under 4 minutes. And we see that repeatedly in one thing after another after another. And, of course, that's why we wrote I Believe, so that you, the audience, could come to understand the power of your belief, not just in, as Ravinder said, you know, positive thinking, but in every, literally every element of your life and every single tiny little belief. Not just see them, but find out, you know, discover how to bring them out. And then what you want to do is once you've got them out, you want to be able to correct them. You want to be able to choose them, because I'll tell you, all behavior is behavior of choice, albeit much of an unconscious. You have some final works for us? You want to tell everybody about the book again, where to go?
I do. In fact, I just had this really good idea. I Believe is really easy to read. There isn't anything heavy about it. It is full of inspirational stories, and the chapters on the most part are pretty brief. You know, they're pretty easy. So I think what I'm going to do in the Facebook after chat group is, you know, if all of us read one chapter, say, per day, and then we can discuss that and then look at the ramifications, because there's going to be a whole bunch of extra things that we can talk about. So if anyone wants to join in with that, you know, just friend Eldon or I on Facebook and request to join the after chat group, and I can send you a special invitation for that. But to get your copy of the book, you know, with all of the other freebies that come with it, as I said, if you count in the two Inner Talk CDs, I mean, just that part of it, it's a $75-$80 value that you get for under $15. But the easiest way to get the information to that is just go to eldontaylor.com, and we have placed a nice big banner at the top. So just click on that and follow that through.
Okay. And then I want to tell everybody, you know, be sure and tune in to George Nuri this evening. I will be his guest on Coast to Coast, and we'll have 3 hours of late night talk. And we're going to flesh out all these ideas that we've been discussing. If you're in the Spokane area, I'll be at Barnes & Noble in the Valley on Thursday evening. 7 o'clock, I believe. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
And I've got a special presentation there. I guarantee you, you're going to see things you're not going to believe. And if you're in the Seattle area, I will be at Third Place Books. What was the location at Third Place?
Well, it's not the Ravenna store. It's the other store, and I keep having to
Ravenna.
Look that out. Huh?
Okay, well, you look it up quickly. But I'll be at Third Place Books in Seattle on...
It's at Lake Forest Park.
Okay, Lake Forest Park.
Third Place Books.
And this is on Saturday evening. Again, 7 o'clock. Join me. I'd love to see you all. I'd love to meet you in person. All right, well, we've come to the end of another hour of Provocative Enlightenment. And I do want to thank the team at Hay House Radio for making what we do on this show both so easy and pleasurable. And, of course, a big thank you to all of you for joining us today, and I do hope you'll go after the book. I hope you have enjoyed our show and will join us again next week, same time and same place. And if you have comments on our show, do let us know. Until next time, remember, wherever you are in the world, believing in yourself always matters.